I am so pleased that Sharon Day was able to make it. Sharon is the Executive Director of the Indigenous Peoples Task Force, and she's going to start us out with a reflection on the importance of water in our lives. She's one of the She's led 5 water walks, and each walk is a ceremony to save the life-giving force of water. With that, Sharon, please.
Good morning. Last night I checked my calendar and I thought it was supposed to be here at 8:30, so I apologize for that. My name is Sharon Day. I'm Ojibwe woman, and I need to update my stuff online, I guess, because I've actually led 19 water walks. And we began this as part of Ojibwe culture. In our culture, women are responsible for taking care of the water, and I think probably in all cultures of the world, women were the ones who gathered the water every day. And about 1998, we took our ceremonial work out into a geopolitical situation that was Camp Coldwater. Some of you might remember that in Minneapolis, where there was a spring that we were trying to save. So I want to just, I did prepare some notes, which I rarely do, but I want to talk a little bit about this land that we're on right here. We're standing on Dakota land, the Dakota people. How many of you know any Dakota people? Okay, great. So there are 4 Dakota communities in Minnesota right now. And at one time, they occupied all of this region here. And then the Ojibwe, my people, we came here several hundred years ago as a result of a migration. But the Dakota people, they've lived here for thousands of years. And at that time, there was wild rice beds all along the backwaters of the Mississippi River. So if you went down around Red Wing and that area, there would be wild rice growing in those beds. There were also buffalo that roamed all these prairies here. And the buffalo provided the Dakota people and many tribal people across the country with a very lean meat, high in protein. They also provided their hides for clothing and shelter. And even utensils for the Dakotas. All of this changed, of course, when white settlers began to settle here in what we call Minnesota. And 100 years later, Buffy St. Marie wrote a song called Now That the Buffalo Are Gone. There was a friend of mine, Art Owen, from Prairie Island. And Art decided that, as some of you may know, that there's a power plant about a mile from their community, sitting on the banks of the Mississippi River. Art decided that they needed to bring the buffalo back, and they needed to bring the buffalo back because they have a relationship with the buffalo. And he said, you know, the buffalo will handle what we cannot handle. He had such a relationship with this buffalo herd that he brought back, that when they needed a buffalo for a ceremony, when they needed to harvest the buffalo, Art would go out and he would stand in the pasture and he would sing a song to the buffalo. And by the time he was done with that song, a buffalo would emerge from that field of that herd, and that would be the buffalo that was offering him or herself for that ceremony. Last week, we said Gigawabamin. We said goodbye to Art Owen as he's making his way to the spirit world. The work that he did to bring the buffalo back, he spent probably 30 years doing that, was really important work. And he had a relationship with the land and with the water and with the buffalo. And this is what we try to do on these water walks. We try to recreate a relationship with water, because water is so much more than H2O, right? It's so much more than that. It is a living force that we cannot live without. And so this is what we try to do with folks. We gather the water in a ceremony at the headwaters, And then until we get to the mouth of the river, we are in ceremony every day. So whether that's the Mississippi River, where we walked from Lake Itasca to a place called Fort Jackson, about 80 miles south of New Orleans, or the Missouri River, or a couple weeks ago, we walked Phalen Creek that we couldn't even see because it's covered over. We carry that water in a way that is a ceremony, and we keep it moving. So we begin with words, medicine, song, and then we walk until we get to our destination every single day. And when we get to the end, to the mouth of that river, wherever that is, whether it's a confluence with another river or to the ocean, we pour that water back into the river. Now, when we began at Lake Itasca, we could drink the water. We could drink the Mississippi River. And we brought enough with us to carry all the way to Louisiana. And as we stopped along the way, we were in St. Louis. We went to Cahokia, climbed up to the top of Monk's Mound, and we had a ceremony there with local people. And when we offered them a sip, a taste of the Mississippi, you know, they were a little reluctant. We had to explain that this was from the headwaters. And you can imagine the look on the people's face, the Houma people down in Louisiana, when we offered them a taste of the Mississippi River. You know, they looked at it, smelled it. They couldn't imagine drinking the Mississippi River. And so again, we explained this is from the headwaters. And so then they tasted it, and the joy on their faces. And so then we took that water and we poured it into the Mississippi. We wanted to give the river a taste of herself. This is how you began, and this is how we wish for you to be again. And so that is what we do on these river walks, is to help people to have a relationship with the water again, because it's more than a commodity, right? And what we do to the water is what we are doing to ourselves. Once a reporter asked me, "What are you trying to do? What are you trying to do here with these water walks? Are you trying to create awareness?" And I said, "No, we're trying to create world peace." And you know, the water walkers that were with me looked at me like, "Did you really say that? World peace?" And I said, "Yes, because if we can understand that our bodies are water, you know, at inception, we're about 90% water, right? And then as we grow, you know, we become less and less. And by the time we get about 50%, you know, we're ready to make that journey like Art did." So for those of you who are my age, drink lots of water. But water is life, and we are water. And if we could treat each other the way Dr. Emoto said, love the water, thank the water, treat the water with respect. If we could do that with the water, we could do that with ourselves, and then we could do it with everybody else. That's world peace. So I just wanted to say a few words to you about water, to think about water in a slightly different way, because we only protect that which we love. And if we can help our children have that relationship with the water, be reverent with the water, you know, perhaps we will be able to protect the water a little bit more. I serve on a Clean Water Council, and I see a few folks in here that are also on the council and people who work in the water industry. And you know, I've learned a great deal being on the Clean Water Council. And you know, if we took a map of the state of Minnesota, and we looked at it, almost all of our water is impaired, except for up there and where I'm from, up in the Arrowhead region, right? And it's almost as though we looked at the state of Minnesota and we said, "Oh, there's some pristine water. Let's create a sulfide mine there. Like, how crazy is that? Right? And yet, you know, we have our two progressive senators who have, will swap land in the boundary waters, so to further that process along. So we have so much work to do, but I'm afraid that if we just look at water as a commodity, as something to, you know, move our goods up and down, not so goods, up and down the river, if we look at it as a way to continue to irrigate our fields, to grow biofuels, you know, we're just going to be on the same path that we've been on of continuing to pollute our waterways. And that is not what I want to leave for my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. You know, we have a word for water, nibi, and that's just it, water. But when we make those offerings, and when we gather that water, and when we sing for that water, and we lift that water, only then does it become Madewabu, that most sacred water of all. And so that is our mission, to take this nibi and to make it all Madewabu, because then we can get our neighbors to stop putting poisonous toxins on their lawn. On my block, we're just about all, everyone's all good. Took a while. You know, when we can stop pouring nitrites and phosphorus every minute of every day, every minute of every night, seeping into our groundwater, then we'll, you know, we have so much to gain by seeing water as this living entity, and there are people who've already done this. There are countries who have already done this, although in the United States, you know, it's hard for us to look at a developing country and think we could learn something from them. But other countries have done this, and we can too, if we have the will and the love to do that. So I'm just going to end with a song. And the song, whenever we begin anything, we always invite those spirits of the four directions, and then the earth and the sky, and all of our ancestors to be with us. And so I'm going to end with this song, and thank you for your time, and thank you, Ellen, for inviting me. So so if you can just close your eyes and sort of imagine this, you know, these four directions, and to say thank you to every single one of your grandmothers and grandfathers, all the way back in your lineage to the beginning of time, and then finally to that most kind spirit. Wabanang Shawanang Ingabiang Kiwaitanang. Wabanang Shawanang Ingabiang Kiwaitanang. Miigwechwaindan ni mama ki. Miigwechwaindan ishbami. Mi kwechwaindan bi marisi win. Mi kwechwaindan no komisanan. Mi kwechwaindan mishomisanan. Mi kwechwaindan gijeman edu. Mi kwechwaindan no komisanan. Mi kwechwaindan mishomisanan. Mi kwechwaindan gijeman edu. Ajwenin ishnag jemanadu. Ajwain Anishinaagashay Manadu. Nika, 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 Nikana. Thank you.